Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm just a mixture of random stuff that put together incorrectly made me. Well, there we go. I don't really feel it coming. It just kind of happens, if you get what I mean. Like, I'll just sit there and then I'll just do it. Some days I'll be like, fine, I'll be sort of confident. I'll be like, you know what, I can do this. Some other days I'll just want to lay in bed and disintegrate.
That's Educating Yorkshire. It's on Sundays at 8 p.m. on Channel 4. You can catch up at channel4.com. James Dempsey's with us once again. This is kind of a follow-up, is it? After how many years?
I think it's about 10 years since Educating in Yorkshire first ran. And that was kind of the breakthrough season of this educating model, which actually began with Essex, but also had in its repertoire, Yorkshire, obviously, the East End, Cardiff, Greater Manchester. That one went a bit awry when the headmaster of the school had to, they could only run a 4-episode run of its second season because the headmaster left the school in a bit of a scandal.
So oh dear.
Which is what always attracts me to this. So like in my everyday life, when I'm not a semi-professional TV watcher, I'm a full-time professional teacher, right? A secondary school teacher. So this kind of show is like, you know, very triggering, shall we say, but very enjoyable for someone like me. And when I'm watching it, like, obviously people will most likely remember Educating Yorkshire for this breakthrough moment where it had this, you know, this completely and utterly viral moment 10 years ago where this student with a stutter managed to speak to his whole class and read without stuttering. Mm. And the very lovely thing is the English teacher who was his teacher then, Mr. Burton, has now graduated to head teacher of the school in Yorkshire, that Thornhill Community Academy, I should say. And watching this is like a very intriguing thing because I see the similarities and I see the differences between, you know, the Irish and the UK school system. The main one being that, like, the main similarity is the near universal agreement that 13 to 14 year olds are the worst on the planet. And then just the other thing is, and over there, just how much more staff they have to fulfill more pastoral roles than we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, what you get here is a working class British school in the north of England, but this is a very successful school. You shouldn't, like, you know, you don't go in thinking that this is the school of hard knocks in the sense that it was originally before the first series ran, but now it's in like the top 6% of academies in the UK, even though I don't really know what that actually means, because what is an academy? I know what a school is, right? But what I really marvel when watching it is the ease with which the adults and the children communicate with each other. That's actually the kind of novelty for, I think, a person who is not, you know, most listeners here are not teachers. They may have children who are going to school. Of course, they have been to school, but those days are perhaps in the past, shall we say. And it's very interesting, I think, to watch a contemporary education system where you're dealing with children with multiple needs and also post-COVID dealing with phone addiction, vaping, all these kinds of myriad stressors that affect the everyday running of the school, while watching the staff deal with endless patience for the children in front of them. At the same time, you have to enter this knowing that this is like kind of a Disney version of the show, right? And what I mean by that is everything has a happy ending. Right? Now, I imagine everything has a happy ending. What I mean by that is...
So did you get a sense that perhaps they had a say on the final cut kind of thing?
I don't know if they have a say on the final cut, honestly. And like Channel 4 is an expert for grafting a camera on a wall of any kind of institution and like spinning gold out of it. But I can tell you, hand on my heart, in any of the schools I have ever worked in, we would never bring, like, I cannot think of any school in Ireland that I've worked in that would bring in cameras to expose the warts and all of the school system. Now, that's not to say that it isn't happening. So in the Virgin Media autumn package, there is a show coming called A Rebel Education, which I think is following a school in Cork, I think, right? So I'll be intrigued to see what happens.
Enormously complicated, because you'll have to get parents to sign release forms for all of those kids.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, the adults, right?
Yeah, and the adults have to sign release forms for themselves.
Like, you know, I consider myself a good teacher. I am the first year acting year head in my school, so I deal with. Right, I deal with tears on a near daily basis, and I have a, you know, I have a calm disposition, but I learnt to do that over the lifetime of my career. Yeah. And like some of them, I'm watching some of these young teachers on Educating Yorkshire thinking, God, I would hate to have been that exposed at the beginning of my career for a very, you know, for any kind of mistake you might make. So it is a very complicated machine here. My understanding is they film it for about 7 weeks and they have thousands of hours of footage and they decide which children to focus on and which ones to not focus on. They obviously focus on ones that are more willing to participate and whose parents will, of course, sign them off. And definitely part and parcel of this is that there will be psychological supports for the children put into place. And I hope the adults as well, to support them through the experience of going from, you know,
an ordinary kid to someone on the telly.
Exactly. Yeah. To potentially the viral moment of a show, which is what they're hoping for. It shows like a huge growth in terms of, or huge development in terms of like modern education, because you see teachers dealing, as I said, with all these SEN needs, special educational needs or additional educational needs. But like the characters we see, you know, like there's this very interesting girl who we heard in the clip there, Amy, in the first series or episode, who is dealing with Tourette's and, you know, is ticking and whistling throughout the class and very down about herself, but at the same time, very funny and self-deprecating and witty and interesting. And it just reminds you that the children in the back of your car or, you know, their bedrooms in your house, who you may not get to spend as much time with as you would like, have a fully realized life within themselves of friendships that they're falling in and out of educational struggles that they are either overcoming or not. And like how rich the tapestry of their whole youthful lives can be, and how important the role of the responsible adults in the building are to kind of guide them along the way. So I think it's a very warm reflection of the teaching profession. But I want to say it's not a warts and all look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Having said all that, and, you know, they say, oh, we provide supports to these kids. That's all very nice. But isn't it, though, ultimately maybe a bit exploitative of these kids, given that they're looking for that viral moment?
I get, like, look, maybe that's a very harsh way of looking at it, but, but certainly the viral moments will present themselves, right? And what I mean by that is, if you point enough cameras at children, and what the producers are very quick to say is, the children kind of, and the students act up towards the cameras for about a day, and then they completely forget that they're there, right?
Yeah.
So they are capturing these moments, which may or may not go viral, quote unquote, but they are also just like potentially a high point in a child's life, right? So yes, they I wouldn't say exploit, but perhaps capitalize on their viewers would be a more benign way of looking at it. Yeah. Exploitation is what they could discuss with their therapist in 15 years.
Right, we'll move on to our next show, which it really should. It's a game show, but really it should be a reality TV show, or it should be a real life documentary, I should say. It's The Inheritance. New episodes every Sunday at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. You can catch up again on channel4.com. Here's a clip.
He's given me £200 and other people have had double that. That means I could be one of the lowest people.
Four people got 400.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everyone else got 200.
Yeah, totally. I'm aware that there's some sort of alliance and I do not have their support. So I know I've got to put myself forward. I've got to be more present. I've got to be more vocal and show people I'm here to play and here to win.
Be honest, right?
Yeah.
Were you at any point tempted to take the lot?
Generally, no.
Right, so this is like family rowing over the money.
Yeah.
Or the land. Like,
that would be a better version of what this is, right? This is Traitors Light, right? So obviously The Traitors is like a massive hit for the BBC, for RTE, for the RTL, the Dutch broadcaster, etc. In most places in the world, wherever it comes on, it's a big hit. Not everywhere, but most places. And obviously, if you're a commissioning person for another network channel, you decide, I want a bit of that. And this is Channel 4's version of that. So it is a most complicated route for how they work this show. Ostensibly, Liz Hurley, blast from the past, Liz Hurley appears at the beginning of every episode to say, "Darlings, I'm dead," and records her video will. And she is the deceased.
Okay.
And the executor of her will is Rob Rinder, who is kind of a Judge Judy type version of the UK. And into this then come 13 beneficiaries of her will. So every episode, she tasks them with some sort of challenge, which is basically an exercise in frustration where they're broken up into multiple teams and they have to, for instance, bottle wine and they have to round up animals and they have to sort through boys and like B-U-O-Y-S, not the other and find, you know, hidden things, etc., etc., in order to accrue a pot of money. Now, that's fine in and of itself. Then becomes, right, but it's not interesting. The whole point of the traitors is the challenges are not interesting. It's sitting around the table and pointing the finger.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. So to recreate that bit, they then decide that only one of the 13 can actually win the money. And to determine who will win the money, they have a sort of little debate amongst themselves. And then a jury of whoever is not in the running decide who to award the money to. Now, that is alone complicated. Then we complicate it even further by saying, well, now, Sean, you've won the money. And you can take it to the safe and you can share some of it if you want, or you could lie to everyone and tell them you've shared it with them, or keep it all for yourself, right? And then we...
Why would you not just keep it all for yourself?
That actually is my philosophy, yeah. Right? And then they get eliminated based on how little money they've accrued over the time, right?
Okay. So somebody wins money in every episode, is that the way it
yes.
is? Or there's not a big one at the end, no?
Well, I believe there probably will be more epic shafting towards the end when we get to really screwing each over,
right.
screwing each other over in order to take the biggest pot you possibly can. But for the moment, it's mostly, it's just been a couple of thousand here and there and then sharing it. But are they really sharing it? We don't actually know that because we won't find out until the end. Now, all of that is very complicated.
Yeah. Right?
It is extremely complicated. So, and it fails to live up to the simple premise of the traitors, which is what it's aping. That why that works so well is because the gameplay is immediately understandable. We know who the baddies are. They know who the baddies are. The rest of them don't. It's all trying to figure it out who it is, while meanwhile bullying people into voting, voting the way you want, right? That's the whole version of that show. It's very entertaining. This is just so needlessly complicated. And then kind of not quite camp enough, right?
Mm.
Like as in Rob Rinder, who I think is, you know, I don't know the name of his Judge Judy-esque show, I can't quite remember it, but I believe it has a sort of loyal cohort cult following and people do like his sort of sassiness and put downs the way he talks to people. Here he he basically gets an A4 sheet and reads out the rules of the task and that's it. And then, and then Liz Hurley, you know, as our big ticket camp diva, you know, has maybe 2 30-second pieces to camera per episode and that's it. Otherwise,
but so she's not there.
She's
recorded all this. She's back at home.
She's on a beach in Barbados, right? Like, she's not there.
Yeah.
So all in, it just doesn't quite live up to what it is trying to live up to. But I will say, obviously, the Traitors Ireland is only on 3 nights a week. And if you're looking for something to scratch that itch for the other 3 nights a week, look, it's there.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's there. Like rain. Right, our third show is Invasion. New episodes of Season 3 every Friday on Apple TV+. Here's a clip.
The ship's core has begun to produce X-rays, gamma rays, at levels of polarization unlike anything...
And you still mine it?
Well, yes.
I mine it.
But, sir, we need a pause to understand...
Here I thought all we needed to understand was that cutting military-grade material from those chamber walls without pause... is what pays for us all to have jobs. Like, what is it you do?
Lead chemist.
Fantastic. You, what do you make of all this? Its significance.
It's nothing to be concerned about, sir.
Gosh, James, I'd forgotten this was still going.
Of all the things on Apple to still be going, I'm actually quite surprised that this is still going. Because, you know, the best piece of criticism I have read about this show, which is a show about an alien invasion of the Earth that follows multiple different strands around the world in different languages in kind of, you know, trying to overcome, first of all, the initial wave of the invasion, second season to perhaps topple the invasion, third season to kind of do some navel gazing and talk about the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
The best criticism I read about it was someone saying their aliens appear so sparsely it should be called evasion,
yes.
which really hit the nail on the head. And I'm sorry, whoever said that, I thought I can't recall your name immediately, right? So it comes from a creator named Simon Kinberg and David Weil. Simon Kinberg was nominated for an Oscar for producing The Martian. He also wrote the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And then David Weil wrote Hunters, which is this like Nazi 70s exploitation show with Al Pacino, which is not great. And Citadel for Amazon, an action show, which I haven't seen. And it has a kind of... I really don't mean this to sound terrible. It has a cast of nobodies, right? In the sense that these are not A-lister names of any kind. The biggest one amongst them is Golshifteh Farahani, who's a very famous Iranian actress, if you are a big fan of Iranian cinema, which is somewhat niche. But the rest is like people I do not know, and I do not know their credits. And even the background performers I've never seen in anything, and the quality of their performances varies very, very much.
Oh, dear.
What is the most interesting thing about it is the production design of the alien species. Now, the world building is very bizarre in this show, in the sense that we get no lore of who the aliens are, except for that they love a bit of David Bowie. But the design is freaky and weird and creepy originally. And then they up the ante in the second season by, I don't know, giving them steroids and making them a bit more vicious. And it lost, for me, a lot of the kind of shock or creepiness of the original run. Then in the second season, or like in the first season, we follow as well this... we follow a cohort in Japan, we follow a cohort in the US, a couple in the US, in Afghanistan, and in the UK, this group of children. And that, again, is aping a kind of Stranger Things younger vibe.
Yeah.
But the problem, in my opinion, the way Stranger Things works is it's this like global catastrophe in a localized setting, right? Mm. It all takes place in Hawkins, Indiana in the 80s. So you've got this kitsch novelty, you know, past.
Yeah, it's got a nostalgia element
nostalgia,
as well.
Thank you is the word I'm looking for. Whereas here we are spread across the world so thin, with these disparate threads that do eventually coalesce, but like they try to build this Stranger Things narrative involving a load of kids, but the peril is almost too severe. And how they survive it is completely unbelievable. How people, like some people are getting chopped apart by these aliens while other people are able to run away from them. It's just completely incongruous and it doesn't make sense. That it has returned for a third season to me is bizarre because all I'll say is it must be a global hit. And it is going for a global appeal because it is this international show.
Yeah.
So,
where are we in over the, you know, over the two seasons spread? Have they repelled the aliens at this point? Or are they fighting back?
Yeah, at this point we've time jumped forward a couple of years from the finale of season two. And where we find ourselves is at a sort of a really, like, without any explanation, you know, subtitles will appear on the screen saying formerly the USA and formerly Japan, but it's not telling me what it currently is, right? But the aliens are...
Haven't thought of a new name yet.
The placeholder, right? The aliens are sort of laying low and regrouping after taking a bit of a thrashing from the humans at the in season two, but things may not be as they seem.
Ooh. Those three shows are Educating Yorkshire Sundays at 8 p.m. on Channel 4. You can catch up on channel4.com. The Inheritance, new episodes every Sunday at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. You can catch up on channel4.com. And Invasion, new seasons of Season 3 every Friday on Apple TV+. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.